that. So I want everybody that's around Angela to scoot in real close to her. And everybody else, you can stay where you're at. I touched on Koinonia last week, where we were talking about the first three chapters of Acts, and this week it just kind of stuck with me. I think over the years the church has tried to do Koinonia, is where the word we use the word fellowship, fellowship hall, fellowship group, food, fun, and fellowship, which is really not really Koinonia, but that's what we've created it to be. And I think over the years, because incorporated in the Koinonia that is talked about when the church was birthed, giving and communion and that type of thing. So the church has incorporated that in worship and all that. I think we've done it to a degree, but I think we could do better. Anyway, let's look at the scripture. So those who believed what Peter said, what did Peter say? Peter said that Jesus is the only way. Peter said that everything that Christ did on the cross was available for us, and that we can be righteous in Him and not outside of us. Peter preached the very first message after the Holy Spirit came down, filled them with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what this is talking about. So once this happened, and remember last week we talked about where they said, well, what do we need to do? And he basically said, you need to believe what Christ did for you. It says, so those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. And all the believers devoted themselves, that word devoted means was constantly on the heart and mind, 24/7, obviously they slept. But that type of devotion that this is talking about is it was complete focus on this. So all believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, which was what? The grace of Jesus. That this is the first time it happened and 3,000 came to know Him. And to the fellowship, there's where the word koinonia comes in. And to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. And a deep sense of awe. That word awe, it literally means fear. And fear of God, fear of what God was doing. Fear in a, if you can have a fear in a good way, just in Britain they would say, they use a great word because we don't use it here, it's called gobsmacked. They were gobsmacked with God. And a deep sense of awe came over them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. I want you to notice those signs and wonders were birthed out of that koinonia and everything that was happening. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. This is what's so funny. Because the next scripture, let's go ahead and go to the next one. And they sold their property and possessions and they shared the money with those in need. Now we immediately go, oh man, well that's a different culture. No, I get it, but you need to understand something. That didn't happen. That happened, that flowed from this koinonia. And I'll tell you exactly what that is here in a second. And they worshiped together at the temple every day, and they met in homes to have communion, and they shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the grace of all the people. See, when koinonia, listen, there's no complaining, there's no griping, there's no positioning for authority when you're walking in koinonia, this common purpose of, in this case, the gospel. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Those who were being saved because of what they saw in Christians. Jesus said it, they're going to know you. They're going to know me by the fact that you share your love with one another. Yeah, and this is so pivotal in this. Anyway, let me just stay right here. Before radio, before television, even before the internet, there was this thing called koinonia that happened with believers. Now that word koinonia, it means joint participation, it means communion, it means giving, it means intimacy. It's a, it is, You know what a homonym is, right? Well, here, I'm going to tell you what it is. Bolt. I unbolted the door and bolted out to see the lightning bolt. It's all kinds of different ways. I took a right. I was in my right mind and took a right. That's what a homonym is. So in the Greek language, there is such a plethora of meaning incorporated in words. Koinonia is one of them. In fact, the verb for it, this is a noun. This is the first time the noun showed up in Scripture. But the verb form showed up where it talked about when James and John and those guys were going to go fishing. Well, their koinonia was they had a common purpose, which was fishing. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees one time because he said, you know, you're talking all that smack, but the truth is you would koinonia, you'd be in common to, you're the ones who persecuted the prophets of God. So that's what that word means. And by the way, koinonia is not getting together with your Christian friends to enjoy a cowboy game. That's not koinonia. Well, it's koinonia in that it's the common purpose is hopefully that the Cowboys win. You get what I'm saying. But this koinonia that was created for the church, you know, last week, the reason I made everybody scoot together last week was so they get uncomfortable with the fact that they're together, you know. But koinonia involves a deeper level of fellowship than just a social event. It's a bond for united purpose. And for the church, it's the united purpose of new life in Christ. Here's a great scripture out of Philippians. This is Paul writing the Philippian church. He says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. In view of your participation, again, that's where the word koinonia, again, I go back to the hominy thing. There's so much meaning in this. The translators would pick one of the meanings of the word, if you will, to fit in this. So that's how this happened. So it's the same word, koinonia. So he says, in view of your koinonia in the gospel, which is euangelion, the good news of Jesus, from that very first day till now. And then look at this next scripture out of 1 John. He says, what we've seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have koinonia, fellowship with us. And indeed, our koinonia is with the Father and with Jesus. See, koinonia, for what we're to understand it to be, is intimate communion and involvement with Jesus. And I think what happens for us guys, and I think you'll admit this, we get so caught up in life that we don't do well here. Look at Paul, what Paul said. This is what I love, and I want to get this. He says that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Verse 10, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and koinonia in his sufferings. Do you see the depth of this koinonia that could happen for us? He wanted to be so intimately in fellowship with his sufferings so that he could understand the resurrection that he might gain Christ. So I'm walking through this a little fast on purpose, just so you know. So here's what koinonia is not. And I'm talking about our koinonia. Next scripture, please. Thank you. If we say that we have koinonia with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and don't practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have koinonia with one another. Now look at this. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. See, there's a whole lot of koinonia going on. You get it, carnal? There's a lot of koinonia going on, but there's not a whole lot of koinonia going on. And that's what he's saying. And I think we get, even in church stuff, y'all, let's just say you're having friends over and you're doing a Bible study and you start arguing over it. That's not koinonia. Because koinonia has nothing to do with our carnal selves. Koinonia is all about, and you're going to see it, it's all about other people, and it's all about Jesus. Period, end of story. But out of that koinonia, out of that prayer time, out of that communion with Jesus, one of the greatest things I ever started doing was having communion every day in my office. One of the greatest things I ever started doing, because I'm really getting to understand, because it's all focused on Him. Do this to remember Him. And out of that koinonia with Jesus, and by the way, I told you last week, and it's true, koinonia starts in your home. It really does. That's where you can get some really good understanding of koinonia. But so this is what it's not. Look at the next scripture. And we all know this scripture. Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. We've quoted it for years. It says, so don't be unequally yoked is another version. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship, what koinonia has light with darkness? Now, pause right there. Wait a minute. Jesus went into all kinds of crazy places, but it wasn't in koinonia. You hear what I'm saying? There's area, well, this thing we're going to do Tuesday night. Our koinonia for that night, our common goal is to fish, is to bring love and life and light to these people. But that's our koinonia. What happens is we in the name of Jesus will koinonia outside of what Jesus' koinonia is. So we'll be one of them. You know, it's like Paul, man. If you'll study his life out and study the words that he wrote in the Bible, because there's a ton of them, more than anybody else, that he wrote in the Bible, he even talks about that. He even talks about how we can offend other people by doing something dumb that we're free to do, but it offends others. That's not koinonia. Being buddy-buddy is not koinonia. Koinonia is powerful. Koinonia is powerful. And we'll talk about that here in a second. So, okay, you can stay right there. Wait a second. Did you give me Hebrews already? Back up to Hebrews. I think it should just be one back. Okay, well then we'll just see what this one said. I got it right here. I see, I'm smart. I print mine out. I don't just print the scripture thing here. It says, let's make sure. Wait, never mind. I was on the wrong page. No, I wasn't. Here, yeah. So, yeah, my bad. So, yeah, okay. Here's what's so funny. Okay, Steve, I hear all this koinonia junk. How is this practically used in life? How do we really walk in this powerful, it's powerful unity and powerful. Here's how it says we're to practice the koinonia in the gospel, what we're talking about. So, and this is Paul speaking, is not the cup of blessing, which we're talking about communion, which we bless, koinonia in the blood of Christ, is not the bread which we break, koinonia in the body of Christ, koinonia, the focus of everything about communion. Listen, man, I've told y'all before, for years and years, my mother would not take communion because they were speaking out of context that scripture that says, examine yourselves. If you'll study that scripture out where it says, examine yourselves before you take communion. So what happened was my mother wouldn't take it because she would examine herself and she didn't like what she saw. But what it's talking about is examine your belief system in what Christ did. Examine that you honestly believe that His blood heals. That you honestly believe that his body heals, that His blood takes sin away. If you really see if you believe that, examine your doctrine, if you will. It has nothing to do with examining how horrible you are, because you're all horrible. So am I. I am. I get it. But He's not. He's perfect. So that's what communion is about. We focus on Him. We focus on Him. And that's what He's saying. Is that not it, doing this thing called communion? Is that not part of it? And by the way, in another one, another version, they actually use it when they use the word communion for the word koinonia in other translations. Let's go to the next one. Here's another thing that it is. Paul was giving instructions to the Romans. He said, for Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make a contribution, which money, for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. So incorporated in koinonia is giving. Again, the church and I'm talking about the United States of America church, we've created the parts of it, if you will. But if we really had koinonia, there would be no backbiting. And by the way, I don't think there is here. If there is, I don't know about it, and that makes me happy. But you hear what I'm saying? Let me just stay right here on this. So, Now I'm to Hebrews. See, I was on the wrong page. See? So through him then, talking about Jesus, through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of the lips that give thanks to his name. And don't neglect doing good and koinonia. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. How do you do koinonia? Here's what I want you to see, the common theme of koinonia. Yes, koinonia deepens my growth in Jesus, but it's not about me. It's about Jesus and other people. That's what koinonia is. That's what it's always been about. That's who Jesus is. That's who he's always been about. So here's where I'm on my conclusion, because I just had a feeling yesterday in my office when I was praying. And by the way, it's amazing what prayer will do if you'll pray on occasion. Just pray a little bit. The most powerful example in the Bible concerning koinonia and the practical side of it are the one another's. It took me forever to write all the scriptures out. Scripture says, be devoted to one another. That means loyal. Be devoted to one another. Loyal. Like I'm sitting here, and you know, Paul said one time, he said, pray that you can prophesy. And it wasn't prophetic. He was talking about listening to Jesus and hearing things. See, because people have been disloyal to you. And because they've been disloyal to you, that makes you want to bow up. But here's what I want you to see. Jesus is loyal to you. He's the perfection of loyalty. So with those times when those things come in, man, understand. Be loyal to one another. This is your body, sir. I don't really know your name, and I probably should, but whatever. Thank you, William. Bill. Billy. No, I'm going to call you Billy for as long as you're here now. It's too late. I'm going to call you Billy Sue. Better than Billy Goat, right? As long as you call me, that's right. That's good. But do you see what I'm saying? This is what koinonia is. What this is happening right now is koinonia. Encouraging one another. Again, it says be devoted to one another. And then it says honor one another. Give honor, honor, honor. What does that mean? What does that mean? See, most of us don't feel like we have anything that's honorable in us. But see, the Jesus in us can bring koinonia to those who feel like dishonorable, if you will. Because we all mess up. You know what I'm saying? So, Steve Metter, you're a great example. I honor you today. You've been here as long as me, and you're older than me, so God, help us all. No, but see, you see what I'm saying? You've maintained, you've stayed loyal. There's that devoted. You've been devoted to this congregation. You've been devoted to Gay and I. I honor you in that. And you know what's so funny? God honors you. How crazy is that? We don't deserve anything, but he honors you. Honor one another. Live in harmony with one another. That doesn't mean sing together necessarily. Live in harmony. That doesn't necessarily mean you have to totally agree on something. But love covers a ton of stuff. And where there's been disharmony, sir, what is your, can I ask you your name? Yes, sorry. Have I ever met you? Okay, how long ago?
William Garza was coming.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. You know William? I'm just kidding you. No, I just... There's a depth that you have from the pain that you've suffered. And Daddy God knows it. And in those areas where you feel like you've been this complete failure, it's just not true. It's okay to cry.
Yeah.
Okay. Because the depth of his love for you is true. It's true. And so as we gather together as a body of believers, and we pray together, and we have communion together, that's what koinonia is. Koinonia doesn't expose. It doesn't. Koinonia encourages. And that's one of the things that was on here. Encourage. Let me encourage you today. Well, no, but here's what's really cool out of all these people in here. For some reason, God said, well, let's encourage that guy today. Kevin, did you say? Yeah. Okay, I'm going to call you Bill. In fact, you know what? Just to make it easy for me, I'm going to call everybody Bill. And you girls, I'm going to call you Billette. Just call him Steve. See, it's easy. Y'all just have to know one name. And I'm supposed to know all y'all's names. So unfair. Serve one another in love. Serve, serve, boy. How many times we know that? Serve, 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 serve. We serve. We serve our community, but do we serve one another? See, here, I'll pick on James back there sitting in the back pew by mom-in-law. There's a man who serves that nobody knows he serves like he serves. You know what I'm saying? And so what koinonia brings out in that is koinonia exposes, I'm exposing you to the good person you are, James. That's what it does. Well, in fact, just so you know, at the conclusion of our service today, we got some folks going to hunt for fossils and stuff, but James is going to hang up a television in the garden room just because he wants to. Ain't charging us. Just because he wants to. I expose that to him. Whew. Here's what, during my study time, I ran across the story. Some of y'all might know this story. If any of you have a Catholic background, you really might know this story. You ever heard of Father Damien of Mokalai in Hawaii? 1873, there was four priests that were going to be sent to Mokalai, and they were to go do it on a rotating basis. Mokalai, in fact, up until 1957 or so, there was a leper colony there. And this is in Hawaii, sorry. And so they sent him. He was the first one on the rotation. Well, when he got there, he told them no reason to rotate. I'm going to stay here. There was like 700 lepers there, and his whole life there, all he did was dig holes to bury folks. He started hospitals. He was incredible. And the reason that they accepted him is because he loved them. He would stand up and say, brethren, my fellow brethren, and he would just love them, and he loved them, and he loved them. Until one day he stood up in the pulpit and said, brethren, my fellow lepers, because he had contracted leprosy, what had happened was he set up a hot bath and he put his foot in it and he couldn't feel his foot, so he knew something was up. So from 1873, he died in April of 1889 at the 49 years of old. Obviously gave up everything to serve people that needed it, that loved him. They say when he died that everybody followed him. They buried him under the tree where he first came there. He didn't have a place to sleep. Oh, they gave him instructions not to touch the people and don't drink after the people, and it didn't matter to him. He was serving those people every day. He walked 10 miles a day just touching people and serving people, and it ended up taking his life. Now, the cool thing is, if I guess this is cool, I think it was 2005, 2009, the Catholic Church made him a saint, first saint from Hawaii. And so because of that, he was from Belgium originally, and the king of Belgium asked for them to ship his body back, so they did. Well, once they sainthooded him, this is probably gross, but it's true, they took his right hand from Belgium to bring it back and placed it underneath the tree where he originally had slept. I just say all that to say, that's the purity of serving someone else in love. That's the purity of it, man. And I mean, my heart was gutted when I realized how unkoinonia I am. So it says, yeah, to serve one another, be kind and compassionate with one another. That means don't be unkind and no compassion. Is that fair? That's what koinonia is. But again, that only happens in gathering together. You know, that's why people who say, man, I don't need church. You really do. You really do. Here's what's so funny. If you really want to grow in the Spirit, I did a whole sermon series on the fruits of the Spirit. You got to have people involved, man. You can't love somebody from a distance. You can't have patience with somebody if they're not on your last nerve. Come on. It's powerful stuff. And the cool thing is it happened in the church. And it's the reason the church added daily is because they saw that these people who were so enamored and with this thing called the law and were so demanding of how you should live your life, all of a sudden these same people were just loving each other and serving each other and in harmony with each other. So be kind and compassionate. Be kind and compassionate. Compassion, we know what that is, right? It's feeling the pain of other people. Like used to be Bill Clinton, I feel your pain. Okay, but that's really, it's putting your shoes in. That's what kindness is simple. And that's kindness for everybody, ladies and gentlemen. It's not just kindness in the church and then go out and be mean. Because what happens is when we're kind in the church, that will flow out of us into a community. It's just crazy cool. Admonish one another. We like that one, right? Admonish simply means to warn. The warning could be something as simple as, Helen, chill with who you're hanging with. I'm not saying that, I hope. Okay, thank you. But you get what I'm saying. Or Lauren, pay attention. It's not, you know what? I saw you. No, it's not that at all, man. Koinonia is love incorporated in admonishing. It's what, hopefully, when our children were younger, when we corrected them, it was with that kind of love. I'm going through my brain trying to figure out a time where I may have done it right, but you know how that works. So admonish one another. Encourage one another. What is just in simple English, encourage is giving courage to someone. What do you mean? You know, how can you, like, give the cowardly lion courage? Right? I am king of the forest. Not duke, not earl, but king. How did they give him courage? As this came to me. They gave him courage by telling him he was all that in a bag of chips. How do I encourage you, John? Do I encourage you by saying the stupid stuff you did, or do I encourage you by saying, man, you're a good person. I don't care what anybody says. No, because what I'm saying is that the God in you, the ability that God has given you to love other people, even as simple as the fact that you served our country and blew off half your leg so you could fill it with food. That's an old joke. This guy can eat like a horse. He's skinny as a rail, and he's got half a leg where he got blown up in Vietnam. Nobody knows that. I only knew that because I'd known him for years. We went to India together, and he was my roommate, and he took off his pants. I'm like, whoa, what happened to your leg? And I just thought maybe it was from birth or something. Seriously, you know, maybe he had polio or something. So he begins to share this incredible story of Vietnam, and I'm like, I never would have known that. But then, like I said, he'd eat like a horse, so I just kept telling him he's just trying to refill that leg up because just after church, just we're going to koinonia and you can ask him to show you your leg, his leg. that way you know I'm not lying, that, you know, I'm just being honest. Koinonia, encourage, man, encourage. Where's Ken? Ken, No. Listen, this man right here, quit rolling your eyes. has one of the greatest testimonies that you could ever hear. This man has been through every religion, and stop me anytime, every religion imaginable, trying to find that itch in us that needs to be scratched, trying to find somebody who would love him right where he's at without any changes. And he went through all of these different religions, Orthodox, I mean, you name it, he's been through it. And then ends up, now I knew him from years ago, and he left regular from years ago to do the search. I need to find it. Then all of a sudden I get a Facebook thing where he had snuck in the back door one time, and he goes in the Facebook post, private message, he said, it was not private now, he said, you are my favorite Protestant pastor that I've ever... What changes? Whew. You just don't know how that encourages me. Your life encourages me. Do you get it? There's some koinonia right there. If someone's life encourages you, don't just tell them. But what an encouragement. Raw. I love the fact that you're raw, man. Some of y'all would blush at the stuff that we talk about. I call it my Facebook church. And in private messages. But man, do you have a grip on what you always say, the Lord Jesus Christ. You will never hear him say just the word Jesus. You'll never hear him say just the word Christ, because he's been through all of those different religions. He will say, I love the Lord Jesus Christ, because his Lord now is Jesus Christ. Jesus being first name, Christ being the Messiah. You get it? What an encouragement you are to me. And see, your encouragement to me now encourages you. Do you get what encouragement does? Okay, sorry. I do too. Spur one another. That word spur means spur. You know, like if you can't get the horse to go, spur. Spur, I want to spur you so bad. Toward love and good deeds. Spur one another towards love and good deeds. What does that mean? Man, when you have a little angst, love enough to say, man, let's go out and do this. Let's go out and diagnose a car. I was going to have you change them all, but now you're not going to do it. So I'll give you the oil. There you go. That koinonia went right out the window. Are you're understanding koinonia a little bit better now, right? This is why the church added to the church daily, was because people that were in a desperate way, hurting, hating, would hang around this thing and go, holy smoke, I want what they have. It didn't have to just come through the preaching, which it did. So, spur one another towards love and good deeds. This here's one that I have got to work on. Offer hospitality. I love you, but don't come to my house. Uh-oh, I just hurt my wife's feelings because I spoke truth. I don't really do not mean that. What I mean is there's some people, and here's what we'll do, because I don't want to do it. I'll say, oh, well, you have the gift of hospitality. Because I don't have that yet. No, that's not koinonia. Koinonia is hospitality. And hospitality is more than just inviting people over, for real. Hospitality is being cordial. Hospitality is people actually wanting to be around you. Hospitable, you've heard the word. And maybe there's some hospital in that, too, when I think about it. You know, maybe it's good that if we can be so hospitable that people will seek us out so that we might give them some kind of help like a hospital would. And then the last one, which is just, we say it all the time and it's corny, love one another. Love is incorporated in so many ways. Read chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians 13. That's the love chapter. If you really dig into it, you're going to see that's how we're to love one another. And it's from this love for one another that, again, it flows out into our community. But we get so, I think sometimes we get so caught up in the koinonia of friend, karnonia, if you will, of things outside of us that we're missing the point. So couple weeks ago, I talked about Paul and his conversion. See, this won't happen, by the way. This won't happen by you wanting to do it. Well, yeah, you know what? I'm going to make a list. That making a list doesn't work. I mean, when I found out my wife thought Valentine's Day was more important than Mother's Day, her friend Melanie Hemmer, y'all know her, some of y'all do anyway, gave me a list, 50 ways to be romantic, right? So Steve Van Zandt, I got a list, right? It's not going to flow from my heart. I got a list. So I went, you know, some of the list was not good, like get her up at sunrise, and I'm like, I ain't getting her up at sunrise. She will yell at me. But, you know, then you make her coffee. So I had the list, and I'm checking the list off, and boom, 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 and then Mama finds the list, and all my romance went out the window. Why? Because it wasn't real. You get it? I was doing a list. This isn't, koinonia is not about a list. Oh, yeah, I need to. It's about your first koinonia with Jesus, which is, that's why communion is so powerful, because that's the immediate connection to his cross and to what he did. And koinonia, again, in your family, and it flows, it flows, it flows. So I told you about Paul. So I said it right here. Paul went from a religious know-it-all terrorist to an humble servant of Christ, and he penned the greatest summary of koinonia right here in Philippians. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any koinonia of the Spirit, because it's the Spirit of God that lives in us, and that's where koinonia flows from. And I'm telling you, when they got baptized in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that increased that powerful side, that dunamis side, so that this could happen. So he says, if there's any koinonia of the Spirit, if there's any affection, any compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Father Damien, now Saint Damien. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Charles, come on up, man. Oh, Charles, oh, Charles. Here's a microphone. What you got?
Well, you stole my one another's.
Oh, here, you can have them.
No, I'm good. I had a list of one another's. I was going to go through that.
You can do that, too.
You covered it. You guys stand to your feet, please.
Mine were here. Right here.
You got them all over?
Wait. I don't want to lie to you. There they are. Look.
It's a long list, and there's more.
No, there is. We probably should maybe go there sometime. Go ahead.
Probably should. So this koinonia teaching is so, and he said it in the beginning, counterculture to our Western culture. The sharing of life, doing life together, all the one another's that he just listed, it's so counter to what we live here in Western civilization. Dwayne in Monday night's Bible study brought it up. The Bible is not just for America. It is for the planet. And if it doesn't work overseas, then it shouldn't work here. This koinonia is so counterculture. We have to get out of this Western first world mentality and start looking at others as the most important, not ourselves, not our lives, what matters. It's others. The Bible is all about others. What did Christ do? Everything he did was for others. Ephesians says that's our example. He is our example. Our lives should be about everyone else and not about ourselves. Our first thought in the morning shouldn't be about us. Yes, our families, absolutely, but then others. Start placing people's others and their needs and their desires and what they have and what they want and what they need above our own. That's what's important, but that is so opposite of what we live in. This is not an admonishment. This isn't a finger pointing. This is, let's open our eyes to reality and what Christ did for us and what we need to be doing for others. Putting them first, helping, reaching out, going above and beyond. I have a friend, and he loved the phrase, and he, you know, first time I ever heard it, he says, man, we just need to do life together. Do life together. Sharing sufferings with one another. That's the compassion that Steve was talking about a little bit earlier. That compassion. Sharing the sufferings. Walk in someone else's shoes for a couple of miles and start to feel what they feel. Know what they know. Understand what they understand. I am the world's worst at keeping up with people. I am terrible. A couple of years ago, I went to Bible men's retreat. I was able to share, and I taught a message called Out of Sight, Out of Mind. I am horrible. If I have a friend moved to Illinois, I have to force myself to text him once a week to keep up with him. Because if you're right here, if it's me and you, man, I'm all about you. If I don't see you for 6 months, I'm all about whoever's right in front of me. I have to force myself to keep up with others. Out of sight, out of mind. Horrible, horrible thing. Still working on it. Still working on it. But guys, let's change our mindset from us to them. Begin to change our mindset from us to them, or us to him to them. Maybe a better way to put it. But let's pray, okay? Father God, we come to you in Jesus' name, Lord. We love you. We praise you. Oh, God, you are beautiful. You are amazing. Father God, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for everything that he did for us. Heaven to earth, the perfect life, the sacrifice, the cross, the death, the burial, the resurrection. We thank you for all of that. Now sitting at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding for us, we thank you for that. We need that. God, you are so beautiful. God, I pray that as we walk out of here today, you begin to change our mindset to focus on you and to focus on them. Complete focus on you, complete focus on others, God. Lord, we love you. We praise you. You are beautiful. You are amazing. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, hang on. Real quick before you go, Gay alluded to it. Tuesday night in the big parking lot over here, food, fun, fellowship, the Koinonia, reaching out to the community. Come and be a part of that. Tuesday night. Ben, you got something real quick? Hang on real quick.
Just wanted to give you a